Thanks for joining us today for another in our series of The Shepherd's Heart, presenting timeless truth for such a time as this. Today we will listen to a message by Pastor James Richards recorded at the Hillview Baptist Church in Montego Bay, Jamaica, where he served as senior pastor for 12 years. He also served for 7 years as the president of Fairview Baptist Bible College in Jamaica. Pastor Richards now ministers at the Mountain Stream Baptist Church in Pennsylvania, USA. We pray that your hearts will be blessed.
This song that you just sang might sound like a lofty wish. And in a way it is. Here's a man who says, I want to live as somebody who knows what it is to have been forgiven myself. To reach out in such a way that my life honors God and blesses others. And while it sounds like a lofty wish, may I say to you that it is more than a wish. In fact, when you examine this song and you examine the Word of God, it is the only way that you can live. Any attempt to live life in any other way comes up short. In fact, as we continue to look at, I choose to call them rogues of the scriptures, we're going to find out today that if you do not live this way, you actually are killing yourself. And my encouragement to you this morning is to stop killing yourself. I'm amazed sometimes as I watch some people do some things which are destroying themselves. And they know. I think of the person who knows he has lung cancer and continues to smoke because it calms him down. Well, I hope there's something else that can calm you down. Because with each puff you take to keep you calm, you take a step closer to the grave. And as we have looked on some of these persons in scriptures, we have looked on Esau, who never understood what spiritual blessings were and had his judgment so impaired that he lightly squandered his blessings before God. We looked at Cain, who killed his brother. And today we go back to another family. And we look at a situation that is amazing to contemplate. That brothers could sink so low. I want to draw our attention to an account that is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 37 and pretty much runs all the way through to chapter 50. Most times when we study this story, we look at Joseph, and well, we should, because Joseph really is the outstanding character in this portion of scripture. It is his life and example that God would highlight before us today. But Joseph is not the only one in the story. There are 11 brothers, probably 10. 10 more than the 11 who are in this story. That when you look on what happens, you are amazed to see the kind of life that these brothers lived. It is all the more frightening because they are brothers. And I believe God put before us a very dramatic story, an account of what can happen in a life that is given over to jealousy and rivalry. But you know what? Maybe in our circumstances, the circumstances are not as dramatic, but they are just as deadly. Today, in many homes, in many classrooms, boardrooms, offices, bedrooms, whatever, you find the same drama being played out over and over in your life and my life. And what you don't realize is, depending on the choice you take, you are killing yourself. Watch with me as we pick up the story a little bit, and then see what's going on here. In chapter 37, verse 1, we're told that Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. Interesting setting here before us. We find a young man in a situation where his brethren really don't like him. And then we find out, as we look in the next few verses, that his brothers were out in the fields keeping sheep. And Jacob sent Joseph to go out and just check on his brothers to make sure they were all right. And he goes looking for them. And in verse 18, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beasts have devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams.'" Verse 24, "And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, 'What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh.'" What an ironic statement. "Oh, he's our brother. Let's sell him as a slave." And his brethren were content. They brought Joseph into Egypt with this dark and dirty deed. Joseph's brothers did two amazing things. One, they purchased Joseph's ticket, put him on the flight to greatness. They didn't realize that's what they were doing. But they purchased Joseph's ticket and put Joseph on the flight to greatness. And they forced themselves in a tiny, dark, dirty dungeon, locked the door, and threw away the key. What an amazing thing for somebody to do. I do not think these brothers understood what they were doing to themselves. when they made that choice. And I watch some of us today making choices, and we do not even begin to understand what we're doing to ourselves. And I want to shout out to you as you are journeying down this same road. I want to say to you, beloved, stop killing yourself. Because you're going to find out that to take that journey is to harm your own self. How can you prevent yourself from killing yourself? Well, the first thing I want to challenge you to do this morning is to stop poisoning your heart. Stop poisoning your heart. Like Joseph's brothers, you are going to be exposed to some circumstances which will test who you are and what you are and how you understand life to be. We are told in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3, that Joseph's father loved him more than all his brothers, just because Joseph was the son of his old age. Now let me ask you, was it fair for Jacob to love Joseph more than the other brothers and sisters? We can argue that. And you know, we sit here in church and say, of course not, Pastor, that's wrong. But let me ask you something. Is there anybody in your family you prefer than the others? That's an honest answer. But let me ask you something then. If Joseph was wrong, well, if Jacob was wrong to love Joseph more, how dare you love anybody better than the other? But hold on. You know what that is saying to us? It's a truth in life that there are going to be some people around us who will be shown more favor than we will be shown. Yeah. And you say, Pastor, that is not fair. Hold on. That is life. You think about in your own life. Think in your family. Some of you might not want to think about this because you are the favored lamb in your family. You are the one who, you know, you get all the liquor extras. Yeah, and the siblings pointing finger in here now, right? But here's the point. We're saying, when you think about it, in your homes, in your classrooms, in your offices, God forbid all when you come to church, there are some people who seem to get more favor than others. In fact, can I tell you something? Even God seems to do that sometimes. It's true. Don't look at me like, Pastor, don't say bad things about God. Let me tell you something. When you check how God works with us, God doesn't give every one of us equally of everything. You know, Jesus, when he walked on earth, get this, he had multitudes who followed him. In fact, he had at least 70 disciples that he would commission and send out. Out of the 70, he had 12 who were very close to him. Out of the 12, he had 3 who were even closer to him. Are you not going to believe this? Out of the 3, there was one who was very close to him. Jesus, what are you doing? How could you do that? How you can have people who are closer to you? Let me say this to you. The reality in life is that you're going to find people who will experience favor, and sometimes more favor than you experience. So here's my question. What are you going to do about that? Because that is a question. What are you going to do when you come upon circumstances like that, where it appears to you and when it is even real that somebody else is reaping favor that you are not getting? Boy, that is where you have to make a choice. Here's something else. Not only will there be people who have more favor than you in life, there are going to be people around you with greater prospects than yours. Joseph dreamed a dream. And you know, as I get to know Joseph better, I don't think he came in a gloating manner to his brothers. I think he had this dream, and he kind of was on his mind. And he said, what a dream. And he said to his brothers, you know, I dreamt that we were all out in the field tying up sheaves. And my sheaves stood upright and yours came and bowed down to me. Who tell him to suggest that to his brothers? And you and I understand, don't. How dare any of our brothers, our sisters, our siblings come to us and tell us that they are going to occupy a position above us? You know, for many of us, if a stranger come and tell us, we can swallow it. But not our close relatives.
But listen to me, you are going to have people around you, even in your own family, whose prospects will be greater than yours. Doors are going to be opened for them. They are going to occupy some circumstances and some positions that you can't even dream of ever occupying. That is life. Here's my question again. How do you respond to that? You want me to tell you how most of us respond? Listen to yourself. When his brethren, that is verse 4, a reading Bible, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Oh boy. You know what these men did? They started to poison their hearts. They said, we can't stand this boy. A word of daddy. No, listen to me. It's amazing to me, you know, that they hated Joseph. The Bible doesn't tell us that Joseph went and curried his father's favor. Joseph's only fault was that he was the father, well, last boy at this point. Because there's going to be another little one. But at this point, the father had loved Joseph's mother. And Joseph was born way down the line, and so Jacob loved him. Not because Joseph did anything, but you see what? These boys looked on and they hated Joseph. They began to poison their hearts. You know, there are some of you here today who you're looking on some circumstances and some people around you who seem to have favor, who seem to have prospects, and in your heart, you are developing, let me put it nicely for you, a little bit of dislike. Because, you know, we don't hate people. We just can't stand them. I wonder if you have to explain that to me, you know. No, Pastor, I don't hate him, you know. I just can't stand him. Well, I don't know. One day I'm going to have to figure that out. But listen, you think about it. Around you, you're going to look on some persons, and in your heart, You begin to allow all kinds of negative emotions to well up in you about that person. And let me tell you something. When that begins to happen, watch out, because you are harming yourself. The Bible said his brothers descended into hatred and envy. Read verse 11. They envied him. You know something, sometimes, friends, it might not be prospects of a person or the person's favor that hurt you or bothers you or causes you to hate the person. But you know, sometimes somebody can do something to you that you don't like. It's interesting to me, you know. The Bible said Joseph's brothers went and brought their evil report to their father. But you know, never said they hated him for that. The Bible doesn't say they hated him because he brought the evil report. It said they hated him because of what was bestowed on him. And there's something about negative emotions, and why we encourage you not to poison your heart. You know what happens? When you start to poison your heart, you not only have dark emotions, but you can get into deadly actions. Some of you sit and fill your minds with all kinds of hateful thoughts about people around you. Some of you about your very spouse, and you sit down and you think all kinds of vile things. And let me tell you something, it is not long before the vile thoughts force themselves out of your fingers and your mouth as deadly, dark, wicked deeds. And you try to blame others. But you corrupt yourself. Listen to these boys as we watch how the darkness of their hearts overtake their whole life. We get down further in chapter 37 when we get down to verse 18. And the Bible said, they saw him coming and they said, let us kill him and see what becomes of his dream. Mm-hmm. Him say him going to become this or that. Watch me and him. We're going to destroy him. Here is the thought that is so crazy. Many of us think that in order to get ahead, we have to destroy somebody else. They never said, let us work hard and become the best we can be. They said, no, sir. We going to just stay here and drag him down beneath us. It's the kind of student in class who is not satisfied to just study and get good grades, but he must steal your notes and hide it so you can't study either. So no matter what grade him get, you go and get a lower one. is the kind of person who will not eat his plate of food alone. He'll turn over yours. So while he's eating, you can't eat. The two of you could go on and eat, but he's making sure that he, what we say in Jamaica, soak the other man. And there are some of you who you have determined that the only way you can get ahead is by stomping on others. I'll tell you something. That is foolishness. You harm yourself when you do that. But they decided we're going to kill him. And so as they were there plotting to kill him, you know, it's amazing to me how vile hatred is. Here are 10 brothers plotting to kill your own brother, and not one of them to stand up and say, "How are you so wicked? Stop the foolishness." We're told that Reuben tried to spare Joseph. But you know what is interesting to me? Reuben never even confronted them about their wrong, you know. He tried a sneaky way to do it. He said, "Look here, all right, don't kill him right away. Let's throw him in a pit." I wish Reuben had said, "Listen to me. You guys are, I can't believe it. You are so wicked. If you put your hand on that boy, watch what me are you. It going to be 9-2. And even if you think they are overmatched, believe me, 9-2, 2+ God against 9 is a good equation. In fact, any number plus God is always on the right side. But Reuben tried in a sneaky way. But I am shocked that not even one of them could say, "Let us not kill our brother. It's a wicked thing." But later on, as they're having lunch, they have thrown Joseph in a pit, and they're having lunch. And Judah sees some merchants passing out in the distance, and he gets a brilliant idea. He said, "If we kill our brother, we won't make anything off it. But if we sell him, we get rid of him and we get our money." And the brother said, "Judah, you're absolutely brilliant. Fantastic idea. That's what we will do. What a good thing we have you around." And so these Ishmaelite tradesmen come up, and the brothers call them over and say, "We have somebody to sell you." And they draw Joseph out of the pit and sold him. I can hardly believe it. It was your own brother. And I said, "I can't believe it." You know what? You know why I believe it can actually happen? Not just because the word of God has it recorded, but because I have watched other families. And sometimes you start preaching like this, you have to be careful because people think you're talking about them in the pulpit. Listen to me. I'm talking about you, yes, because I'm talking about people in general. Have you ever seen a brother or a sister react violently to another brother or sister and deliberately set out to hurt them? Boy, have you ever done it? Say some things to your brother or your sister. Say some things to your husband or your wife. Do some things. Said it one time, and it's not any joke. Some of you know him have high blood pressure, so you turn up the salt in the dinner. Watching me aim tonight. You know, you shouldn't laugh. And I ask myself, how in the world do you do that? You know why you are able to do it? You have poisoned your heart. You have thought all kind of vile things about the person, and you get to the place where you can't do anything on a business. And these brothers sold their brother. But I tell you that in selling their brother, here's the irony of it all. The one they thought they were destroying, they didn't destroy. What they ended up doing was harming themselves. I said to you, these guys imprisoned themselves. Oh, they thought they were destroying Joseph. But let me say this to you. And I was going to say it at the end, but let me say it here. Listen to me. You cannot fight against God's plan and win. And so instead of fighting people, get on your knees before God and ask God to work in your lives. These brothers misunderstood. They thought that Joseph was going to become a king in Israel and reign over them in Israel. What they didn't know was that God's plan was for Joseph to become a king in Egypt. So when they're selling him down to Egypt to get rid of him, they're only sending him down to the place where he's to become great. Let me say this to you. There are too many things you don't know about the future for you to take things into your own hands. I take things in my own hands. You're right. You don't even know what's going to happen tonight. You don't even know what will happen after church is finished today. In fact, you don't even know if we're going to finish church today. Was it last week, Sunday? I didn't even know. I came back to Montego Bay and heard you guys had a massive major earthquake. Thank God nothing happened here. But 5-point-odd on the Richter scale is serious. It's an earthquake. It's not a tremor. And I hear they upgraded to 6-point-something. How many of you last week Sunday could have told me there would have been that tremor? Not even the geologists who are studying had any idea. You understand what we're saying? That there are too many things that you don't know about for you to decide you're going to take things into your own hands. And what these boys did to themselves was amazing. Let me tell you what they did. They imprisoned themselves because they condemned themselves to live with the people they had hurt. They took Joseph and they took his coat. Couldn't work today because we have DNA tests. But at that time it worked rather well. They kill a goat, they kill a kid, and took his coat and dipped it all about in the blood. And took it home to their father and said, look here, look if you recognize this, you know, because we found it. And the father looked at it. It wasn't hard for him to recognize it because it was one coat like it. It was a designer coat. He had given it to Joseph. It was unique. He said, this is my son's coat. And he is dead. Verse 35. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him. Hold on a minute. You ever thought about that? Can you imagine these boys who know what is going on trying to comfort the father? What are they going to say to him? And he said, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. I don't think that Joseph's brothers understood that once Jacob heard that his son was dead, that he would never ever be comforted again. Every day they walked in the house and looked in their father's face, they would look into the face of a man who was mourning the death of a son who had not died. Beloved, do you understand what it is to live with somebody that you hurt? And get up every morning and every evening and every day and look in the face of this person and see the hurt in their eyes and see the broken spirit and know that you are responsible. What a prison to lock yourself in. And you go and you lock yourself in a situation. Beloved, let me tell you something. Try everything you can not to hurt the people who you have to live with. Because you have to face them every day and you do not know how they will handle the harm that you have done to them. Jacob said, listen to me. And you know what? Jacob wasn't even doing it for spite. He did not know his sons were so wicked. His heart was just so broken that he couldn't overcome it. And every day these boys must get up and try to comfort him. And you're going to read as you find out that years later, 20 years later, he is still grieving and these boys are still watching him day after day after day. But you know what is worse than living with a person you have hurt? It is living with yourself. Beloved, I said these men locked themselves in a prison. And when they locked themselves in the prison, they took two of the worst jailers they could think of and put him out at the door. Put them out at the door. Because first of all, they had to live with a jailer called guilt. You know, God has placed inside you. Some of you are going to be shocked. You never know this. God has placed inside you a component to your being called a conscience. You know something with the conscience? Your conscience not easy, you know? You see, all when you're trying to tell yourself that you are justified in what you do, you know what your conscience get up and do? Say, no, brother, you're wrong. Your conscience says to you know you're wrong. And that is why some of you spend so much time arguing your case and trying to convince yourself you're right. Because your conscience is saying to you, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, you are guilty. Look at this boy. I want to show them to you. No, this is at least 22 years later. Because they sold Joseph as a slave when Joseph was 17. Joseph spent 13 years in Egypt before he's exalted to prime minister in Egypt. And then after that, there are 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty. So we go on 20 and now 2 years of famine. And his brothers come down to Egypt to buy some food. Let me take you quickly over to chapter 42 and see what happens. Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt and they come to buy food, and Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And Joseph said to them, "You're spies. And it is because you want to come and spy out the land and see how naked the land is. You want to invade us. That is why you're here." And they said, "No, man. We are decent people. We really don't mean any harm." And Joseph said, "I don't believe you. I'm going to lock you guys up. You tell me you have a younger brother, I'm going to lock you up. And you have to go and bring down your younger brother, or else none of you will get out." Listen to these men in verse 21. "And they said one to another, 'We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us.' And Reuben answered them, saying, 'Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against a child, and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required.'" You know what happened to these men? Every time something unfortunate happened to them, you know what they say? "Lord of me, because of what we do to Joseph. Because of what we do to Joseph." Can you imagine 22 years of this? Every time they go out and one of the sheep die, I wonder if it's because of what I do to Joseph. Every time something happens, I wonder if it's because of what I've done to Joseph. Beloved, I can live without that. Listen to me. Life is hard enough. And when I go through my struggles, I don't want to have to ask myself, I wonder if it's because I did harm this or that person. I want to say, "God, give me grace, because this is your working in my life." What a thing to live with a guilty conscience. And so when they are getting some hardship, they say, "Lord, what? I wish we hadn't done this to Joseph." And I'm saying to your friend, before you take that action, you're going to have to live with yourself. And with that conscience that will not set you free. And here's something else. Not only do you live with guilt, but you live with fear. Everywhere you turn, you are so afraid. There is a fear of your father finding out the truth. You know, it's interesting to me. In chapter 43, verse 18, when they come back down the second time to Egypt to buy food, Joseph says to the steward, "Take them over to my house." Because Joseph's intention is to let them have lunch with him. You know what they think? Here's their thinking. "You know something? Because of the wrong we've done, this man is sending us to his house so he can take us and make us into slaves." Nobody has suggested anything about slavery to them, you know. But there are some of you who are pursued by your own fears. In today's day, they say you're paranoid. All it means you're afraid of your own shadow. And you're afraid when you have no reason to be afraid, but you have lived such a life of wrong and wickedness that you keep looking over your shoulder till your neck almost creak. Because you don't know when your evil deeds are going to catch up with you. And it's amazing to me. They took Joseph and sold him as a slave. But they are saying, "Lord, I hope they don't make us into slaves." The very thing they did to their brother, they're trying to run away from. And I know how we are as human beings. We can do the wickedest thing to anybody until it's our turn. You ever watch us young guys? Oh, we can be harsh to each other. And we call them a nickname and laugh after them. until somebody turn around and start laugh at us. It's like, you know, when I was a youngster, they used to always tell this thing. I don't even know if it's true about a guy who was talking about one of his friends. And it became a little saying among us. And the friend made a lapse, you know, said, you know, people lapse. And he came back to his friend and said, man, I'm with brethren, you know, but when me hear the lapse, me couldn't help it. Me say, me laugh after him till me weenik. Yes, that will sink in for some of you later on. And that was what he became from after that. Me weenik. You know what I'm saying to you? You know, when the tables were turned, it wasn't so funny anymore. But when you have somebody else, you see, it is such a crazy thing to abuse others and then have to live in fear that the same thing will happen to you. God says, when you roll a stone, he that rolleth a stone, the stone will roll back on him. And he says, you dig a pit, dig two, because the first one is for you. So you dig a second one if you really want to catch somebody. And if you think that fear was anything, wait until they come face to face with Joseph again. Which brings me to the other point I want to make with you about not imprisoning yourself. I'm going to say to you, don't harden your heart, don't imprison yourself, and don't set up yourself. Don't set up yourself for a hard fork. You know what? One of these days, you're going to come face to face with your sins. These boys thought the last person they would ever see in this life is Joseph. And in chapter 45, Joseph said to his brethren, it is Joseph. Chapter 45, verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Why, I wish I could give it this strength of the word troubled. It means they were trembling like a leaf in front of Joseph. And I understand why they should tremble. They have a right to tremble. Wicked, wicked thing that they are. Let me tell you, you know, some of you right now, you're big and you're bold and you're bad. And you do anything you want and you fear neither God nor man. Till you stand before God. Because some of you don't understand what it is to stand before an angry God. And you make up your face and you talk and you spout out all kinds of words out of your mouth. Because you have never come face to face with the God who sees your heart and who knows your heart. And the God who has absolute authority to repay you for your wrongs. Listen to me. Any day you understand that, you tremble like a leaf. The songwriter said, by God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the Lord's word. The Bible tells us when Paul reasoned with Agrippa of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he trembled before God. Some of you are going to face your deeds in this life. The Bible says that there are some of us who will come face to face with the consequences of our sin in this life. It says some men sin. This is 1 Timothy 5. Some men sin are open, going before unto judgment. Others, they follow after. Some of you are going to come face to face with your wrongs when you stand before God. I wonder how you're going to answer. I wonder how you're going to answer. These boys gave their hearts over to hatred. And hatred consumed them to the point where they would kill themselves trying to kill their brother. And in the long run, the very brother they tried to kill, all they served to do was help to exalt him. And they thought they were setting themselves free. And they never did. You know why they never set themselves free? They wanted to get rid of the favorite son. Guess what? Once Joseph was gone, Jacob found another favorite. The other favorite was Benjamin. And in fact, he was even more protective of Benjamin than he was of Joseph. He would almost let them starve to death before he would take a chance on Benjamin. So you know what? These same brothers who thought they were getting rid of the favorite, all they did was get a bigger favorite in the family. So what was the point? These brothers who thought they could have controlled the outcome of their actions found out that once they set things in motion, they had no idea how it would end. And let me say this to you, beloved. You can make some choices, but you do not know how the choices will play out. You determine in your mind that I'm going to do this and this will happen and that will happen. You have no idea what will happen. You make a choice, but you do not know what the outcome will be. And you have to get to the place in your life where your desire is to honor God. You know why that is so important? You have Joseph as the other side of the picture. Here was a man who honored God, never got bitter, though he had reason to become bitter. And God worked in his life. You know the only way you can do that is when you learn to love God. It is only God's love in your heart, because when you read the story, you find out in every instant God was with Joseph. I do not see that said of his brothers. It is no wonder they had no peace. It is no wonder they destroyed themselves. But you know what? I thank God that after the bitter lessons they learned, something changed inside of them. Because the Bible tells us that their attitude towards Benjamin was different from their attitude towards Joseph. And I ask myself, what will God have to do to you to help you to understand that the road you are pursuing, you're only killing yourself? Beloved, you and I have to build relationships with each other. And sometimes the folk around us are going to hurt us. But you make a choice now. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't make the right choice. I'm telling you. Because something inside of you is going to cry out to the wrong. And so the first thing you must do is to get on your knees before God and ask Him to cleanse you of your sin and to fill your heart with His love. And when you have the love of God in your heart, live in that love. Choose the path of forgiveness. Choose a path of love that says, I will do for you what is best, even if you hurt me. Can I tell you this? Watch God work in your life. To do anything else is to kill yourself. Stop killing yourself. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me? Almighty Father, turn your searchlight on our hearts and help us to understand where we are before you. Help us to understand the choices we are about to make. And instead of acting out of hatred, help us to act out of love. Love does no evil to his brother. Love pursues that which is right and beneficial. May that be our choice. And Lord, there are some here today who cannot choose a way of love because they don't know you as Savior. And no matter what they try, until the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts, they can't truly love as you want them to. I pray that today would be the day when they would choose you, choose your love and your grace, and would find forgiveness. With the heads bowed and the eyes closed, and nobody looking around, you're looking at your own heart. I wonder today if I could speak to the children of God, and if you're honest with yourself, and with God, would you say, Pastor, there is some anger? Yeah, hatred. I might as well be honest in my heart. Might be even towards my wife or my husband or my parents or my children or my sibling or a co-worker. Some things have happened and I've allowed negative emotions. I've been poisoning my heart. And God spoke to me today. I do not want to poison my heart anymore. By God's grace, I want God's cleansing. I want to humble myself before God and ask Him to cleanse my heart. Brethren, this is so tough to ask you to do. But you need to do it. I wonder if you would have the courage and the humility and the honesty to leave where you're sitting and just come to this altar before God right now. Just step out quietly. Just ask whoever is sitting beside you. Listen to me, friends. It's a time for honesty. It's a time for real action, because if you do not do it, you are going to destroy yourself. And you must lay your heart before God and ask Him to cleanse you. Would you leave where you're seated and you come now and just meet with God at the altar? Would you come, sir, madam, young person? Would you be obedient to God? Just leave where you are very quickly and quietly and you come and do business with the Lord. Would you do that? God waits on you. God is speaking to your heart. You know where you are. Oh, it takes courage. It takes humility. But you can do it. God bless you as you come.
Beloved, don't look to see who else is coming. This is between you and God. God bless you. Oh, God will work in your life. This is critical. God has brought you here today because you needed to hear this. The devil will try to stuff in your heart. But listen to me. If you continue to poison your heart, you're going to find out in the end, you will become something that you cannot believe. The kind of actions and words that will come out of your mouth and out of your body, you will be appalled. But worse than that, you will stand before God and be judged for them. And you have an opportunity today to settle those issues. And God bless those who have the courage and the humility, the grace to be settling the issues. Friend, don't miss your opportunity. Maybe I'm speaking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And friends, you know that as much as you long to live the way of love and forgiveness, you cannot do it because Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life. But you're saying, Pastor, I want to follow Him. This morning, I'd like to trust Jesus Christ and experience His forgiveness so I can forgive too. I'd love to have a counselor take you aside privately and show you how you can be saved. Would you leave where you're sitting and just come up front now quickly? And as you come, I'll have a counselor meet with you and take you aside privately and help you out of the Word of God. I need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior, and I'm coming. Pastor, brother, sister, God is speaking to your heart. Now, would you be obedient to Him right now in the quietness of this moment? God will forgive you of your sins. He will soften that heart of yours if you will let Him. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, today we would cast ourselves upon you because we are so aware that we are not what we should be. But we trust your word and we trust your grace. And I lift up these at the altar and I join them in prayer. And pray that you would do your will in their lives. You would give them grace to live as you would have them live. And Lord, may they see the fruits in their own lives. I believe there are still others who need to do business with you here today. And I pray that you would bring them to that place where they will be obedient to you. You take control of these next few minutes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to The Shepherd's Heart, produced by SheepGazette.com.